I feel like I'm doing this like we've never done this before, but like definitely did this like yesterday.
It was rather recent.
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
It was a Thursday, right?
Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Thursday, see?
There, I want you to picture a volleyball net and us tapping on the brain cells. We're just tossing the brain cell back and forth. No one's really holding on to it, but we're kind of beating it back
and forth. Hot potato, hot potato.
Yes. Hi, and welcome to Romance Writers Therapy, the Cringemas edition. Merry Cringemas.
Second annual.
Second
Merry
annual.
Cringemas.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to do Merry Cringemas with anyone but you.
That's
Peter.
Like cringy, but like grinchy also.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. I've been reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Of course.
To the kids a lot right now.
Oh my God.
It's so fun. And like, it is one of my favorite books to read. And like the way I read the exposition is very much like I'm spilling the tea.
Mm.
And so like that's really fun. And they feast and they feast and they feast, 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 feast. Right? Like I am spilling the tea. And then the Grinch's voice is very, I'm trying to think of one of his lines. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? It's so fun. I have so much fun doing it. Hi, Kate. How are you?
Fantastic.
You're fantastic?
Yes. I went to...
Well, you're just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those days. Low brain cell battery. But I have brought... I feel bad that I haven't put nearly as much effort into finding a suitable cringy bit to share with as you have.
Well, poor Kate. Poor Kate has heard me just languish over this for like 3 days.
I know. Like, you're putting so much effort into this. I'm like,
oh my God, Kate, I don't even like what I chose. I'm like, should I go full cringe? And, like, hey, see my internalized misogyny that I hadn't unpacked yet? Or, like, do I just, like, this is cringe because it's cringe. You know what I mean? Like there's just the array of cringe opportunities is broad. Mm. So, yeah. But, yeah, poor Kate. She hasn't heard what I'm going to share.
You did read me some other things that were... candidates, I believe.
Runners up. Yeah, they were runners up. So, honorable mentions. And I've now decided I'm going to make her and Rebecca Conrad just do a weekly read through with me and this novel.
Yeah, because Rebecca was
on coming back to
on this call with us where you were reading your cringy bits and then she was reading her cringy bits and I was like,
yeah,
sitting here trying to finish my chapter, like, guys.
Yeah. I really hope some of our cringe like soaked into that chapter for you.
It just
got steeped in cringe.
There
like
definitely
a
was
tea bag.
It was pre-primed with cringe. Oh, what are any of these words I'm saying?
Pre-primed,
like,
and the synergy.
No, because
the synchronicity.
I don't feel like fantastic about the chapter the way it is, but I'm at the point where I just emotionally have to let go of it and come back to it.
Yeah,
with, you know, less stressed eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah. I like your chapter. I thought it was really funny, and I think it sets up the story really well.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it's just, you just got to move on to the next chapter now.
Well, so
like it's just time.
There is kind of a linking thread between the chapter I wrote, which, you know, I'm just kind of being vague about, and the Cringemas selection I have prepared for tonight.
I'm excited.
A piece of feedback I got on this thing years and years ago that made me just kind of go like that. I just know poisoned my soul a little bit because I think about this every time I sit down and write a scene like this. And I know I've talked to you about it where, I think about like this woman wrote, I don't know why romance writers feel the need to embarrass their heroines so much. And you've made some good points about it, but I haven't been able to like rid myself of this like specter that just kind of floats over me every time I like embarrass my heroine a little bit.
Well, okay, but like that piece of advice has haunted my writing as well.
Oh no.
So like I mean that woman has like
done she poisoned such damage.
The water.
Literally.
There's just like a whole new generation of romance writers that she's ruining with that little piece of advice.
And the thing, I wrestle with this comment so much because I think like all of like so I would watch the growing up, I would watch like rom-coms and just comedies with my brother. And if a moment got too secondhand embarrassing for him, he would stand up and leave the room, and I would pause the movie and I'd be like, do you want me to wait for you to come back, or should I just let it play through and you'll come back when the moment is over?
I love that it was the secondhand embarrassment that he couldn't handle.
Literally, he can't watch like, other people getting embarrassed. And like, I kind of get it, but it's also like, I'm not like, it wasn't so bad for me that I couldn't stay in the room. And I just think about how it was such a common trope in movies that I absorbed watching up, you know, like watching up, growing up.
I mean, but doesn't television raise every child?
In a way, yes. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's that, like, that's an influence that's going to stick with me forever. But at the same time, it's like, does that no longer have a place in our media? Are people tired of that shit?
I think that it really just depends on whether or not there's balance.
Yeah, right? No, that you nailed it there.
I can't watch her be embarrassed over and over and over and not see her come into her power. And it really, I've mentioned this before, where it really depends on her reaction to the embarrassment as well. Like, if she's like, well, that was unfortunate, but it doesn't shake her, like, self-worth.
Yeah.
That really makes a difference to me as well. And so I personally am like, I love some, like, cringe humor, right?
Mm.
But, like, the first season of The Office, there are moments where it's like, oh my god, you've gone too far. I'm so uncomfortable. Right?
Really? Okay. In the first season.
Yeah, there's moments. Yeah. Dude, no, there's other moments that the second season has another moment where I'm like, no. I don't ever want to see this part again.
Well, right? Okay, like, so like the entire concept of the boss in the office, Michael's character, feels like that's that's him, but it's kind of also the way that the punchline has the air taken out of it, kind of. I don't even know if I'm making sense.
Can you elaborate on that?
It's all structured in such a way that it's like, oh, he's making a joke and he's actually really making people uncomfortable. And the joke isn't that, like, here's this guy who's doing these embarrassing things that are, you know, you would see in a movie. But it's kind of like grounding it in what it would feel like in real life a little bit. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that secondhand embarrassment, but it's also kind of like the punch, like it makes him ridiculous in a different way than the way he's intending to be ridiculous.
Well, and it's like the obliviousness of that ridiculous behavior.
I think like that's the feeling that's haunted my entire life. You know, like, oh God, what if I'm ridiculous and I just can't see it?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, this is, like, the concern I have had with everything that I have, like, a natural aptitude for, is, like, well, so-and-so thinks they're really good at it, and I don't think they're really good at it.
God, wouldn't that just be the worst? So I might not
be really good at it.
Oh,
that is my question to myself all of the time about everything, Kate. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And so I have now twisted it where so-and-so thinks they're really good at something. I don't think they're good at something. But, like, who am I to say so-and-so's not really good at something? So who am I to say I'm not really good at something? Right? Like, so I have now just twisted that with mental gymnastics to now prove that I am awesome at everything I think I'm awesome at.
Okay.
And I'm running with it.
I mean.
I am running with it, babe.
If it's workable, then if that's what's working for you.
Man, I have spun that tapestry. Mm. And I am just wrapping myself in that blanket. Like,
yeah. And.
Yep.
Oh, man. I think, like, we were talking about this with the plotter guy, Troy Lambert,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. the whole conversation. Which,
guys, that was such a good chat.
I know. Like, I really hear that
one.
That.
Anyway.
Hopefully that'll come out that before was so this fun. One. Maybe. Maybe after.
No, I don't think so, because I think this has to come out, like, next week in order for it to...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
...be before Christmas.
Because for this to drop before Christmas, it would have to come out next week.
On Tuesday,
listener,
yeah.
I'm sure you're loving this math. Planning the podcast, all the podcasts.
Listener is like on bated breath for us to finally get to Cringemas, and we're just like, "What day is day? Like,
what day is day you record?
What is day day? Time, listener, time is a flat circle.
It is. Like, oh no, you're not allowed to quote that. That's,
I don't know what I'm quoting. I just have heard the line before.
It's from a rom-com.
I feel like I'm a child. Okay. I feel like I am a child that, like, has been taught how to swear all of a sudden.
Like, you're going to say it as many times as
you can. I don't know what the fuck word means. Okay, you were saying what Troy had to say.
Because we were talking about things that are realistic for a book, like, to happen in a book, and things that feel like mm-hmm. they're just jumping the shark and it's unacceptable. Like, it's like, I refuse mm-hmm. to read this because it's... You're walking through glass. Have you ever stepped on a Lego? You know, like, yes. I just don't believe it. It was, and I was thinking, you know, as you do when someone's talking about something, you're thinking about your own shit.
I know. Isn't that the worst? Like, everyone is always talking about, like, not thinking about what you're going to say next while someone else is speaking. And I'm like, how does anyone conversate if they're not thinking about what they're going to say next?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how conversation works.
A little bit.
I don't understand.
Yeah. And, but I was thinking, like, oh, you know, I don't know, when I write romance, like, sometimes, like, and when I'm writing monster romance, I want to point out, because it's like.
Okay.
Because I feel like the more unhinged shit that I write, the better yeah. received it is, which
mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, it's also the very much the same stuff that it's like, oh, I would never write that down as a story because, you know, that's just too far gone. No one would, like, want to read that as a story. It's weird and it's gross and all that. You know, the things that you've... And then you do, and then you enjoy how unhinged it is, and then other people enjoy it, and then it's like... Oh, mm-hmm. I was going to keep that tucked away.
Yeah, I won't rehash the entire conversation with Troy, but, like, it was a really good chat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know how we got here. Listener, full disclosure, I had a little bit of bourbon and eggnog, and now I am drinking a Moscow Mule, and I don't know where conversation go, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-mm.
So.
Well, so, do you want to read first? Or should I read first?
Yeah, I'm concerned that my reading is going to be a letdown, so I'll read first.
Oh, I was concerned mine was going to be a letdown, too.
Oh, no! Bum, bum, bum!
Because, like, you're like, oh, it's not cringy enough, but I want to go full cringe, and I'm like,
I didn't, though. I mean, I could go full cringe, I just don't think I can. My tummy doesn't like the idea. So now I'm concerned about this. I think there's enough of, like, writing cringe elements.
Okay.
Like, craft elements that I'm like, I think we're okay. I'm just last year's cringe piece was, like, perfectly on my, like, this makes me uncomfortable enough to be funny, but not so uncomfortable that I can't share it.
Mm.
And so it was, like, a perfect cringe miss. And so this year, I'm like,
having a hard time striking that balance.
Yeah, exactly. I think next year you and I write something, like, for each other.
Okay.
Like, we could write, like, something I think will make you cringe. Oh, and God. You could write something you think will make me cringe. And we can just, like, try really hard to, like, somehow make you enjoy it, but also make you, like, oh, God, no! Like, sort of thing.
I don't know that I have that in me. I'm gonna be real.
I know exactly what I would write.
Oh, okay. You're suggesting this because you want to do this.
I've got it in my pocket.
I couldn't stop you from doing this.
No, I'm doing it anyway. Okay, so listener, this is from the same book that I shared with last year's Cringemas.
Okay.
This book has so many perspectives. Like, off the top of my head, there's no less than like 7 perspectives in this book. And like, I know 2 of them just pop in one time to make an observation, and then I don't think I ever intended for them to come back. Right? So we have Denver is one of the male leads, but like each book was, it was supposed to be a trilogy.
Mm.
And each book was supposed to primarily focus on like one couple. And Denver and June are a separate couple. So, you know, I'm just going to let it speak for itself. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Denver's apartment was quiet. When he and Grayson had finished closing the cafe, Denver had called friends to go out. Audrey was in Ann Arbor with Trina. Grayson had to go to his mom's to help her with something. Some other friends were out at a bachelor party. Oh, God. I forgot about this. This is pretty cringy. Okay. Denver. Anyway, I'm going to keep reading now. But the groom hated Denver after the blonde man who is Denver because... I don't know why I had to refer to the man being blonde all of the fucking time. After the blonde man slept with his sister, the groom's sister. It had been years before, but the two men had never cared enough to patch things up. Sitting at home and bored, Denver looked at the empty space around him. There was a pile of books by the small TV he owned, mostly textbooks from college, but one or two novels that had been given to him. His out-of-date game system was on the floor underneath the Blu-ray player his parents had given him for Christmas the year before. Feeling restless and isolated, he decided to go shopping for an entertainment system. In his brown suede jacket, Denver shrugged against the chill of the October evening. The store was well-lit and full of knickknacks and home decor items. Finding the furniture he was looking for, Denver quickly felt overwhelmed by the choices, or maybe the lack of choices. He was confused how people made decisions about furniture. With his apartment in mind, he didn't feel compelled by any of his options. He almost left to shop another store when he saw June. She was wearing a yellow tan sweater. It was loose fitting, but still accentuated her waist. The white skinny jeans she wore, tucked into brown boots, curved around her full rear end. Her bright blue eyes were critical. As she looked at the pillow assortment, her full lips pursed. Subtly, she glanced at him from the corner of her eye. She didn't seem to recognize him initially, but at a second look, she smiled. Hey! Hi. Denver looked back. Coincidence seeing you here. Laughing, she sat down the pillow she had been examining. If you knew how often I come here, you wouldn't say that, June contradicted. Checking out the competition, he assumed. She nodded a response. After a brief silence, he asked, "How you doing?" Tilting her head to the side, she shrugged, "I'm fine. What are you doing here?" "I don't know," he answered. "I'm looking for an entertainment system furniture thing, but I don't know. I think I just, like, need a stand or something. What about you?" "I actually got stood up," she groaned, folding her arms over her full breasts. "It was pretty embarrassing." "That sucks," he sympathized. Was it the same guy from the cafe a couple weeks ago? Shaking her head, June lifted a candle to her nose. From the way she pulled it away, Denver guessed she didn't like it. "No," she spoke. "I told him I wasn't interested. This is a different guy. Everyone seems to think they know somebody that would be just perfect for me," she mocked. "But they never pan out," she continued. "So," he began, noticing an elderly woman eavesdropping. "Why do you do it?" "I don't know."
"I'm sorry. Hold on. I really want to know what that's about."
What do you mean?
The elderly woman eavesdropping? Like, is she a character? Or is she just there?
No. No, she's just there.
She's just there for flavor. Okay.
There's just two pretty people talking.
Okay.
And she wants to know if they're together.
Okay. Okay. Continue.
God, Kate. It's obvious.
It should have been. I'm sorry.
You should have known by all of the talking, the dialogue tags, that, you know, it's ambiance. Anyway. Okay. I don't know. She spoke to the ceiling. Asked me to, also, I used a pronoun without, this is the elderly woman talking now.
Oh!
Anyway, it's not, but like, based on grammar, that's exactly what happened. Okay. I don't know, she spoke to the ceiling. Ask me tomorrow when I'm not so cynical. In the silence that followed, their audience seemed to lose interest. With a heavy sigh, June apologized. Sorry,
I should go home.
Anyway, sorry, I should go home. Want to go to a movie? Denver inquired abruptly, the thought of being alone making him feel anxious. Yeah? She wondered doubtfully. You want to hang out with me right now? Her arms tightened around her. She added, you don't need to try to cheer me up. I'm fine. Ugh, Denver groaned. June, you're giving me too much credit. He bit his lip, contemplating. Honestly, I don't want to be alone. He admitted, his face lifted in a lopsided smile. When her eyebrows drew together, he joked suggestively, want to cheer me up? Rolling her eyes, she ridiculed. You hound dog. She watched skeptically out of the corner of her eye as she informed him, fine, I'll go to a movie with you, but keep your hands to yourself. And so that's it. Kate, would you like to give me critiques?
I didn't hate it, but I did, like, you know, like, a couple things stuck out.
Also, I wish you could see this because, like, grammar holds no substance here.
Oh, okay. Like, grammar just not happening.
Like, things that should be paragraphed are not paragraphed. I mean, for one thing, I just did not trust the reader at all to know who was talking when. Like, halfway through every comment, I had to give body language, or she said sarcastically, or she concluded, like, my God. Anyway. And then, yeah, like, old lady just listening in for, like you said, flavor. So Denver is a total man whore.
Okay.
And, like, him sleeping around with people is, like, always getting him in trouble. And, like, that is so fundamentally part of his, like, character. Like, it's just not nearly as cringy as last year's. But I definitely was, like, a couple moments like, oh.
Mm. No, I get you.
Anyway. Yeah. What are your thoughts? What would you tell me?
Well, I think, like, the biggest thing is, you know, again, that it's their side characters and it's not really their story, right?
Yeah, except for I definitely wrote this, like,
as if they were
a movie. Exactly. Like, they're all the main characters of their own story, and, like, this is just a segment of time where all of these stories are intertwining. That was, like, how I wrote it. And there's a lot of fun things about it. I actually don't hate the format that I used. And I think it only works in third person. And whether or not it works is questionable. But I don't altogether hate it. And, like, every time I come back to it, I'm like, there's some weird life to this. Like, I wonder if it's worth my time to make it not so embarrassing. Mm. Kate, we have to stop doing this or I'm going to fucking edit this book. So,
I mean, I would not be against that. I do enjoy bits of it that, like as you're reading it, I'm like, that's actually really funny, and I'm like,
don't tell me that, Kate.
My position, it's the same as last year, that, like, I'm like, actually, I would read that. Like, I know you're dunking on it, but it's like,
I mean, but Kate, like, this thing reads like a fucking soap opera. Like, we cover ground in this storyline. Like, we are just,
listen, you
we
got
are doing
to
some
keep
hurdles.
The, gotta keep the pace moving. Never a dry moment.
I have literally, like, one of my, I think it was a 3-star review, on Just Fake Married was, like, the pacing never quit, like, sort of thing. I'm like, yeah, that might be kind of my thing. So, but yeah, I don't altogether hate this little book. And I think she might get some life put back into her.
Oh, because I think that's the thing. No one writes something thinking, like, you know, writing from a place where everything you put out is going to be terrible. No, you're writing the things you love and the things that enjoy, like, you do enjoy, even if some elements are out there.
Because I would have to, like, put this under a pen name.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I couldn't.
You couldn't.
And so I was thinking, like, I was like, I should call it Vardy Me. Like, the joke version of Marty V.
Vardy Me.
Vardy Me.
I'm sorry. That just sounds like something that, like, The Sims would say.
That's hilarious.
Limlor. Vardy
Me. That is so funny. So, like, I don't know. I would have to, like, yeah, like, have, like, a pen name that, like, clearly was, like, a joke. And it's, Kate, we can't do this again. We can't do this again. I'm going to edit this book. So, but every time I read it, I'm like, this is ridiculous in the most delicious way. Anyway, that's how I feel about it. That's where I'm at. You can't stop me. And then Kate isn't helping with the whole I wouldn't DNF it. Which, I mean, is astounding praise.
It's not framed like a compliment, and yet.
And yet. Do you want to read?
Oh, no, I don't. But if I'm
honest. Oh, no, I don't. Band-aid off. Let's go.
Okay, so another piece of feedback this thing has gotten is that your main character is too stupid to be out here on her own. And it's like, yeah, that was the point, but.
I'm glad you ran right into the point and missed it.
I'm running into this thing where it's like, I don't disagree with these comments, these critiques, even though I've been, like, wrestling with them for who knows how long. But it's also, like, I also don't think you're right, but I don't think you're wrong.
It's like, you're right, but, like...
But, like, just missed the mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, you're right, but you lost... You got lost in your logic. Does that make sense? Like, that was on purpose. Like, you feel that way because I meant for you to feel that way. You feel that way because I did a good fucking job.
Like, well, so there's that, but then it's like, should I have made that decision? Was it appropriate to have this in the story? Was this tonally necessary?
Yeah, but, like, that stuff can be edited so easily.
Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the... See, with this particular project, I'm like, the way I wanted to start, like, the tone of this book and the tone that it took on throughout the book are very different. But I don't think that, like, I don't... There's some moments that are very, like, rom-com-y vibes, and then other moments where it's, like, everyone's, like, tearing their heart out and, like, vomiting because of trauma. Like...
That's hilarious, because the barista story that I just, like, read from.
Yeah.
Also very rom-com-y until we get to, like, Thanksgiving dinner with the family. And there's, like, one of the three guys who has, like, this really delightful Thanksgiving with his family. And the other two, it is, like, sad times with Grayson in Denver.
Yeah, no, it's like...
Oh, man.
I think that's definitely one of those early writing things where it's like, your first book, you don't know how to modulate tone and, like, the way that you... I don't know. I wasn't even thinking that it was, like, a necessary thing.
like lingering in moments that you shouldn't.
Yeah. And diving face first into moments that is like, okay, that's a complete shift from what we were doing last chapter. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with this thing that I wrote in like 2018, let's say. That sounds like it was a while ago.
Yeah, because Barista, I think, was 2012. That sounds about right.
It was 2018 on this one, at least.
Yeah, October 4th, 2012 for this one. Were you still in high school in 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you would have been somewhere around, like, 15?
Yeah, I graduated 2014.
Mm-hmm. I had a kid in 2016.
That...
At an appropriate age.
Yeah.
That was a planned child at 2016, so.
Yeah, no, we had very different experiences of the early aughts.
Yes, and the tens.
We were all doing the oppa style. Gangnam style, the Jesus what? Christ.
Gangnam style, that's hilarious. Oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that in a minute.
Yeah, no.
That's hilarious.
I feel like that was my entire high school career is just was listening to. I'm pretty sure that was literally just senior year though.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I would say that's 2013.
Yeah, sounds about right. God, and Thrift Shop, people would not stop playing Thrift Shop.
Thrift Shop.
Yeah, the Macklemore song. It's okay if you don't know. It's better if you don't.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, okay. We can't play it on this.
No, I don't know this song.
So. Wow, how did it miss you? This thing was everywhere.
I don't know. This was when 2002 or 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, so at that time I was like definitely listening to Abbott Brothers, Lana Del Rey. Who else was I listening to? Brandi Carlile. So it just definitely wasn't in my realm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This and like the Harlem Shake, you could not escape it in my fucking school.
Oh, the Harlem Shake did not escape. Yeah. But you know what song I didn't hear for the longest time was Call Me Maybe.
Really?
Like, it was like last year that I heard it for like its entirety. And like, I knew it existed. Mm-hmm. I knew the chorus. I just hadn't heard it in its entirety. And that was like definitely my little pretentious soul. Being like, I'm like.
No, I've never listened to Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I've like never heard it. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, I don't understand what you're saying. So yeah, it was definitely like my little alternative soul being like, I listen to like, I don't know, like the Doves and like.
The real cringe, our pretentiousness about music.
Oh my gosh, that would be the real cringe.
That's the new podcast. Hello, listeners. Yeah. This is the Goose Down.
This is us walking through time. Anyway, Kate, are you going to read?
Oh, I was procrastinating on that.
You can totally. Yeah, no, I mean. I'm like a hop and a skip away from continuing to tell you all about the music I was listening to in 2012.
That's the other half of Cringemas. Just who we were in 2012.
Who we were in 2012.
I had a magenta phone that was like, it had a slide out keyboard.
Ooh.
It was like one of those T-Mobile things. You know, this is like the age where like everyone I knew had a BlackBerry.
I think I had just gotten a BlackBerry Storm.
Ooh.
And it had like the clicky screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
People were all about the clicky screen.
Oh yeah, for sure. But then I got real pissed at it because like I couldn't answer phone calls because it would lag.
Mm.
Right? So like I'd be like trying to answer a phone call. And someone was like, what do you think about your phone? I'm like, I hate this thing. Like, ultimately, be a phone first. Like, let me answer my phone calls.
Ooh, messenger bags and fingerless gloves.
And messenger bags. Kate, you are procrastinating.
Okay. So this story is a thing that I keep telling myself I'm going to rework and publish. But, like, every time I open it up and I look at this disaster of an opening, Which, I hate that I think of it as a disaster because I genuinely thought this was the funniest thing I ever wrote at one point, and I
still Is that what do. You're going to read right now?
I'm going to read chapter 2, I think it is.
Okay.
Do
you want to read 2? Because I want to know what opening you're talking about.
Oh, I mean, I can find the opening. I can read the actual opening.
I want to hear it.
Okay, I will go find that then. I'm going to skip the letter that's the prologue, just because...
Okay.
You know, it's vague and unimportant, and it just takes up time.
Okay. It's like one of those prologues that actually doesn't have to be there.
Okay, so this is part of my writing historicals is sometimes I try to emulate the tone that you get when you read historicals, and it's very I know it's hit or miss. I know it is. I'd keep doing it anyway. I can't stop myself.
Can't stop myself.
I cannot. It may have been God, this thing is so long. I don't know that you want me to read it starting here.
I mean, you don't have to, but like, I'm interested in what you thought was super funny and now embarrasses you. Like that just tickles my thoughts.
Like, okay, I'm just gonna cut ahead a little bit, so I'm not gonna read right from the beginning. Okay, so God, this thing is so fucking wordy. I hate it. I hate how wordy it is. This is just how I start writing books, is I'm like, all right, I'm going to do 10 pages of just no dialogue.
I don't know how anyone talks until I just write for a long time, which I'm like kind of the opposite. I tend to put like dialogue right at the top.
I should do that. I wish I did that.
I mean, you add dialogue eventually.
I do, but it feels, to me, it's always like, I know that I stuck it in. Okay, I'm gonna stop waffling. All right. As the road changed under her from the mossy cobblestone to the damp wood of the pier, she wobbled and nearly dropped her trunk. Not for the first time that trip, Valerie regretted her short-sightedness in trading her bootlaces away. Not a thing people did, but okay. Valerie caught her balance and with a smirk congratulated herself for her clever maneuvering. She thought then that she would have no need to improve upon her impulsivity as long as she could rely on her wit. The gentlewoman she used to work for was certainly missing out on her now, as well as the linen factory and the other flower girls, and they had never appreciated her best qualities when they'd had the chance. It just so happened that while she was nearly through thinking this very thought of hers, what a sentence. She slammed face first into the most suddenly appearing brick wall she had ever met. Oh, for fuck's sake. The air was knocked out of her suddenly as she fell flat on her back, the wet of the mossy boards immediately soaking into her clothes. She winced, and for a moment she was unable to remember how to think again until it occurred to her how must her dress best dress would be. At that thought, Valerie hurried to sit up and gather herself as quickly as possible, almost slipping on a number of small fish in the process. Oh, seconds and seconds would be making minutes and minutes, making her later and later for her departure. God, what a sentence! It was too much.
It definitely was, like, where Valerie are we going? Valerie stood
quickly and decided... Are you having fun?
I am, okay. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I look at that and I'm like, I love it, but I also hate it.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it. It definitely, like... I feel like if all the wordiness around it were removed, it would be a really cute, like, voice thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like the whole thing is wordy, though.
Exactly. So, like, if there was some, like, some choices made to make that sentence actually stand out for, like, how delightful it is. And I'm not hating anything. Like, this is cute. I just think that, like picking and choosing. I keep on wanting to say editing, but, like, that's exactly what we're talking about. Right?
Yeah, no, so. I think it's that strengthening the voice and figuring out what adds to the voice and what takes away from it while balancing that with what's going to serve the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of what makes me struggle with going back and editing this is that, well, what's about to happen next is just, I think maybe a bad way or the wrong way to start off this story. But I also couldn't think of a way that I would do it alternatively.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm listening.
Okay. Valerie stood quickly and decided to brush off any remaining fish as soon as she got on board. All she needed was her trunk in her hand and her feet under her moving. Stop right there, lass. A rough, deep voice commanded with a growl. A jolt of fear went through her stomach as if a bear were standing behind her. She paused a second to look around. She saw that the bear and the wall that she had run into, apparently, was in fact a man. The sun setting on the water behind him made it rather hard to see his face. Valerie had never seen a taller man in her life, or one so broad-shouldered and grim. He had long, dark hair that fell in rough waves around his shoulders, a beard that framed his strong jaw. It seemed to have a touch of ginger in it in the light. His rolled-up sleeves showed his arms, weathered and strong with years of hard work, and the collar was open about his chest. She did not remember lifting her chin to see, but there was a trail of dark hair beneath that caught her attention. The look of him burned through her like brandy. That's a sentence I still fucking use today, and I wish I didn't. Thank you.
Oh my god, I love it.
You know, just the sentences that you find yourself reusing. You're like, oh no. Dude, I still do that.
Seriously, though. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Or like the similes I really clearly enjoy because I do them all of the time.
Oh, similes. Can't fucking escape similes.
Oh my gosh. I mean, can I stop referring to like the heroine as like the sun's warmth?
Oh
like,
my god, yes! I do that too. I need to find another source of warmth to...
I know. There's gotta be something else.
She's like a campfire warm. Or a radiator.
A cozy blanket.
A really fat dog laying on your lap. Yeah.
Okay. So is that all that you're gonna share in the beginning?
Oh no. I'm realizing okay. As I'm reading it, I'm like, okay. So what's gonna happen is they're gonna argue, and then she's gonna fall off the edge of the pier.
Okay.
And okay. Then he's gonna laugh at her in the next chapter, which is the next chapter.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh God. The thing is,
he just laughs at her?
Yeah, no, he's pissed off, so he's like, it's funny that you fell in the water.
Well, I mean, it's pretty delightful. It has a very distinctive voice. Are you going to keep going?
I can. Do we? I don't know. It's up to you. Great amount of reading to do. That was.
Do you want to do the segment you were actually planning on sharing?
Yeah, I could do that. That's also long.
Yeah.
Okay, so. He's gonna be like my fish woman, and she's be like, sorry I knocked them over, but I have to catch my boat, see you later. And he's gonna be like, excuse me, and she's like, I mean, smell you later. Exact Victorian dialogue. No, that's not how it goes, but that's the gist of it.
Oh, I love it so much.
not a moment sooner than he had watched her brush past him. Had the damn girl fallen off the edge of the pier? He could hardly believe his eyes for a moment. His own surprise nearly knocked the wind out of him with a laughter that doubled him over and shook at his sides. When he regained his breath, he went over to survey the damage to the poor lass. Also, I just hate that I keep using lass. I feel like I'm appropriating it or something. She was soaked thoroughly, her skirts floating around her in the water. She scrambled to stick something in her bonnet as she clung to the pier's leg. And pulled her trunk to her from where it floated in the water. Don't just stand there and laugh at me. How am I supposed to board the ferry now? That's what she sounds like. She shrieked at him the moment he appeared above her. That rotten tub? You'd be better off paddling yourself in a bucket, he chortled, putting a hand over his mouth. It wasn't right to laugh, but how could he not? She'd gotten what she deserved. It wouldn't bring the day's catch back in, but it felt good to see. She crossed her arms petulantly and pouted as... She waited for him to stop laughing. He took the cue and made an effort. This was serious. The wood creaked under his weight as he moved to bend down. Need help there, lass, he asked, trying to contain his amusement. He had to bite against his cheek to stifle himself. She sighed, but she would not turn to look at him. I suppose there's no one else on the pier who would care to help me up, she asked, and her voice was small and helpless. She must have really despised him after such an introduction. Well, that's what she got for tearing down the pier without a care for the others on it. For the damage she had done. He glanced around the pier, empty of all the hard-working people of the town. The day nearly done, had all gone in for their sup and a pint to warm their old bones, and by all means he should have gone and joined them the moment the tavern filled. Why is it a tavern? It's Victorian times.
So what would it be?
It would be a pub.
A pub, okay.
A tavern just sounds a little too medieval.
It does.
Yeah, that's kind of it. there's a lot more to it. The gist of it is that he helps her out of the water and then she can't stand up and she's like, oh my god, it's the shock of the water. I'm so cold. And then like, she's like, I don't even know that I can find my feet. My skirts are all wrapped around my legs and it's, oh my gosh. And then he like starts to help her find where her shoes are in, you know, her skirt, because they're all like swooshed around her and she's now got like a mermaid tail.
I love it.
And she didn't know she was a mermaid, so she starts screaming at him and she's like, you fisherman cursed me. And he's like, I can't do that, ma'am.
That's actually not a thing.
And, you know, so, like, he hates her, she hates him, and he's, like, she's, like, where am I gonna go? I'm soaking wet, and it's nighttime. And he's, like, I'm gonna drag you to my friend's house, and she's gonna give you a dry dress, and then we'll figure this out. And he has to carry her, and I was, like, this is the height of romance.
I mean, but a good carry is the height of romance.
It is, but they hate each other so much. Like, there's no attraction. I mean, they just hate each other.
There's, like, it just isn't, like, it's pretty cute, Kate.
Yeah.
Like, this is my, yeah, it's pretty cute. Like, I really like the voice. I love the premise. I love the way that, like, neither of them know that she doesn't have legs anymore. Right? Like, that they're both, like, looking for her legs and then, like, oh my god. Right? Like. So I think it's a really fun reveal. Like, I'm sorry I don't have anything that aside from, like, you were saying, like, the tone and a couple of the other more, like, critical things, like changing it to a pub and, like, stuff like that. I'm sure if I was, like, reading it as a beta, I'd have, like, suggestions for you. But, I mean, in total, dude, it just kind of sounds like a really cute book. I think you're being too hard on yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
I've spent a lot of time being embarrassed about this thing, so, like, I don't know if I can know. Feel good at it anytime soon.
Well, my thought is that you wrote it and you sent it out on a high, right?
Yeah.
And then you were getting criticism kind of for the first time, right?
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Damn and it. And so I think that you just... It just turned your feelings on it and you didn't know how to receive that criticism and like where to put it and how to like take the criticism and turn it into effective criticism, right? And so you just hadn't learned that skill yet. And now you've got kind of a great book that just needs an edit. Like, that's what I think is happening here.
Oh man, now I gotta find something actually cringy.
You ruined Cringemas, Kate.
I'm sorry, I can delete that. And
no, it's up to you if you want to, but I don't think you need to. I think that it's kind of a great example for a listener of like the narrative that we give ourselves and how like sometimes that's very different than the way someone else would interpret the situation.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's a tender learning moment. I'm sorry, I just started scrolling and like got hit with another like, oh no.
Oh no, there it is.
There it is.
There's evidence that I used to not be so good at this.
Well, and then also, but like I wrote it all from like a very fun place. And so I think that energy is really there. I can't believe how much like I read this thing and I'm like, oh, that's kind of really fun. But then I also read it and I'm like, oh God, no. Oh God, no. Like I wrote that thought out loud. Like this story really like gives me a lot of like pendulum feelings of like, it was so fun to write and there's a lot of like really fun energy about it. And then it swings in the complete opposite direction where it's like, I am just totally humiliated by it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a dull moment. So, Kate, what have you learned tonight?
I don't know. Brain cell.
Yeah.
Brain cell not happening. Yeah. Oh, you know, the ways that we're hard on ourselves and the things that make us cringe are necessarily things that other people think are embarrassing. I don't know.
That's definitely true. What would I say?
That you really should go back and just give this thing a good edit and it's ready to go.
Do you really think so, Kate?
I mean, I haven't read the whole thing, but I...
Dude, that's... But that is, like, part of it, is, like, I would have to go through and, like, change some basic story, like very integral, like, storyline and make some... I mean, but it's just rewriting scenes. But can I rewrite these scenes with the same tone anymore? I mean, probably. It wasn't that far from my voice. Anyway, moving on, Kate. Gosh darn it.
I don't know. I think so much about, like, well, at least lately I've been thinking about, like, oh my god, I wish I just had a bunch of stuff that was ready to throw out there. Uh-huh. And at the same point, it's like, I've got all this stuff that I could, like, hundreds of thousands of words, all nearly finished things, mm-hmm. that it's like, well, maybe with a bit of editing and, you know, I could just get it out there. But though, when I do pick up these projects and I try to work on them, I end up really struggling with the things that made me put it down to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because, like, in looking for something for Cringemas, I was looking at some of my other abandoned, like, pieces. And for one thing, I didn't realize how far I had gotten in, like, all these partial manuscripts. And there was particularly one that, like, I'm like, oh, there's something here. Like, I have, like, close to 30,000 words in it. And it's, like, kind of really fun. And it was definitely in my, I want every heroine to be, like, prickly stage.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I mean, it would take some editing to, like, either prove why she's prickly and make it work better, or make her just a little less prickly. Like, and then I think it could be fun. And I remember when I was writing it, I had, like, this whole other plot that I was wanting to work into it. And it's, like, now I would just remove that. Like, that was overcomplicating the whole situation, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why I walked away from it, was because I was, like, overcomplicating it.
But I think it's so much easier to carve out the overcomplicated things and just put them aside than it is mm-hmm. to add to it, you know?
Well, and I never even wrote any of that overcomplication, because mm-hmm. I felt intimidated by it. So I was like, I'm just going to write this, like, plot, and then I'll write that plot and weave them together. Not realizing, like, that plot is a whole separate book, right? Like, I shouldn't write that and put it in this book. That's two different books. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, through experience that, like, been able to see the direction I was going wasn't the right way to go. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of what I'm taking away from tonight in this experience, is, like, keep on writing, and each writing experience makes you better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make me want to, like, go back and read some of my old shit.
You should. It was actually, like, a really fun little, like, walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I definitely came across things. I'm like, oh, I forgot I wrote that.
It's a Cringemas miracle.
It was a Cringemas miracle. So, Kate, do you want to tell them where you're at?
I'm on...
I almost said where you're from.
Where I'm from?
You want to tell them where you're from?
From the New Jersey's.
She's from the land of the bagels.
The bagel place.
The bagel place.
Yes. And apparently a very niche coffee area.
Kate is at TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at By Kate Pryor.
And Marty V has her website, martyv.com. And yeah, her newsletter is there, and her books are there. And she's also Marty V author on all the places, TikTok, Twitter,
that's true,
Instagram.
Well, listener, this has been a travel through time through music. And here we are. All right.
All right, listener.
All right.
Go embrace listener, your cringe.
Merry Cringemas. Go embrace your cringe, dude. Yeah, let's get that tattooed on our faces.
Yes.